Hey, I'm Carmen, the new host of Oyster's New World of Work podcast. I'm the community lead here at Oyster, and I'm also an organizational and business psychologist. I'm Spanish, but have lived my whole life in the Netherlands, Italy, and the UK. And now I live in sunny Barcelona. I love helping people thrive in the workplace. Part of my role is leading our People Builders community, which is a place where people and culture leaders, managers of all kinds, and future of work pioneers come to find the connections, answers, and tools that they need to navigate this complex world of remote and distributed work. Throughout my career, I've had the chance to connect with so many great leaders. I've heard their wins, their challenges, and helped uncover hidden opportunities. I hope to share some of that knowledge with you on this podcast. Over the next season, we will be diving into topics that are top of mind for today's people leaders. From supporting Gen Z in the workplace to the rise of fractional work, you'll hear from leaders who are building forward-thinking, innovative, and compassionate workplaces. Tony Jamus is the CEO and co-founder of Oyster, a global employment platform that empowers companies to hire, pay, and care for team members wherever they are in the world. It is also the company where I work, alongside an amazing team to grow our brand and People Builders community. This is Tony's first time on the podcast, and I'm looking forward to sharing Oyster's story with you all today. We talked about our core mission to democratize access to global work, why Tony bet on remote work pre-COVID, and Oyster's recent Series D funding. Tony, welcome. Welcome to the new world of work. I'm so excited to have you join me today. So to start, could you perhaps introduce yourself, you know, state your name, share a bit about your career experience so far?
Hello, Carmen, and hello, everybody. And I just want to say I'm so excited today to be on this podcast, the Oyster New World of Work podcast, because I happen to be the CEO and founder of Oyster. And I started this business in January 2020, first and foremost as a mission-driven business, on a mission to make the world more free and equal by democratizing access to global job opportunities. And why I did that is because I was born in a country called Lebanon that is pretty much a failed state where there's no opportunity for youth. And it's not only Lebanon. If you think about most of emerging economies have limited opportunity for youth. And the key reason why emerging economies remain emerging is because they lose their best talent to the West. By democratizing access to global job opportunity, thanks to the remote work opportunity as well, we have a shot in reducing brain drain and reducing wealth inequality. And before starting Oyster, I started my first technology startup 13 years ago. It was an API business for building communication applications that I grew to $100 million of revenue in the first 5 years, took it public in the mid-2016 by merging with a company on the New York Stock Exchange called Vonage, which led to its acquisition by Ericsson for $6.5 billion. So I took some time off after this first successful venture, and I worked on clarifying my purpose, and that led me to start Oyster, that is aligned with how I want to see the world changing.
Wow, what a journey, Tony. Thank you. And I wonder if you had to distill your career down to, you know, a brief elevator pitch, perhaps. What is your personal overarching career mission?
Looking at this today, my overall career mission is to show the world there's a different way of doing work. The podcast name today is A New World of Work, and it's a world of work that I want to see that is more in touch with the real needs of humans. A world of work where people's gifts are being recognized and appreciated, their potential is being recognized and appreciated, and they're in a world where work supports their lives, not the other way around. A flexible work that doesn't force you to commute to the office, doesn't force you to live in places you don't want to live in. enables you to be close to your loved ones. And a future of work that doesn't force you to leave your home country for better economical opportunity, but instead, great opportunities come to you so you can stay in your home countries, you can stay in your tribe and contribute to the success of your community and your country.
Mm-hmm, absolutely. And, you know, for those of you listening that might not know, Oyster has just raised $59 million in Series D funding, bringing its total amount raised to $286 million in just a few years. And as you were fundraising this year, I'm sure you were doing a lot of reflection about the industry and where it's headed. And you've briefly spoken about it already. But Tony, you know, what excites you about where we are right now and the future of work?
What is really excites me also in the light of this fundraising, we are the first global employment platform to fundraise after the economical challenges that the world has faced in the last 2.5 years, is really a key message that global employment is going to be the default mode of employment. And let me tell you why. There are 85 million jobs going unfulfilled in the West, according to Korn Ferry. That's 8.5 trillion economical loss, roughly 10% of the world economy. While at the same time, you have over 1 billion knowledge workers coming into the workforce in the next 10 years, mostly from emerging economies. So there's no doubt that the world, same thing with commerce. Commerce became a global with e-commerce. Same with communication. Communication was domestic and local. Now you can text somebody on the other side of the world in seconds, in milliseconds. Same is going to happen for employment. Employment is going to be global, and where you are located is going to become irrelevant and is becoming irrelevant. Oyster and our customers are a role model for this. If we talk about Oyster specifically, we are 550 people distributed in 70 countries from over 100 nationalities with diversity level that are unheard of. That is the future of work. And that's the world of work that I want to see happening in the world.
Absolutely. And I really resonate with what you're saying, Tony. You know, when I started working at Oyster, one of the things that I loved is whenever I would log on to a meeting or a Zoom call, the possibility of where someone is dialing in from is infinite, you know, always finding out, oh, you're in Cyprus or you're in Canada or you're in Turkey. Like there's so many different countries and the possibilities are endless. And I think that's so exciting.
It is. And actually, if you think about it, these construct that such as countries, nationalities are like man-made. They don't have to exist. We are all very different, but we are also much similar than we think we are. And I did that in my first business. In my first business, I took all these complicated communication networks. There's over 1,000 network carriers in the world, like the Vodafone and the Orange and the AT&T of the world. And I created one software interface to access them all was for messaging and voice. And boom, we created a market that was worth billions of dollars. So the same here is happening. We are using technology to address man-made complexities that doesn't have to be there in the first place.
And I know, Tony, that you've already touched on the motivation behind why you started Oyster in the first place, but I wonder if we could double-click on that a little bit. You know, how did your own journey really influence your desire to make work more accessible for everyone, like you're mentioning now? And why is equal access really important for the mission at Oyster?
It started in my previous business. It was called Nexmo. This business that was a global business. So we employed people in 45 different countries because we had to. We had to be close to the customer. We had to be close to all these telecom network partners. What I witnessed, something very special, I witnessed the superpower of global employment. Not only we were able to access this vast, diverse talent pool, but also we changed people's life in many emerging economies. And these employees would be the most loyal, the most hardworking, the most productive. And We would give them opportunity that they would not have locally. And when I left this business and I was about to start my next business, actually my next business idea was in the same industry, in the telecommunication industry. I wanted to disrupt my own industry again. And I had the business plan ready. I had the team ready. I had the investors ready. But I wanted to, this time, I wanted to take distribution to the next level. I wanted to build something that was totally distributed. And I started looking for a solution to that. And I couldn't find solutions. What I found is this industry called employer of record that was a $33 billion industry that existed for 50 years. These legacy vendors, they operated like professional services company with no use of software, very expensive. It wasn't fit for a massively or a hyper-distributed organization. It was fit for Fortune 500 companies that want to employ 2-3 people in the country and then decide if they want to open an office and set up an entity. So that was there. So I knew that software could really disrupt this industry. But it's only when I went through this inner work journey, I was working on my spirituality, I was working on my myself, on my pain structures, and I was doing a mental health retreat with my therapist, really addressing some of these inner work issues. At the end of the retreat, my therapist told me, well, don't take any important decision for the next 10 days. The next day, I went and I incorporated Oyster. Because I knew this is where my heart was. My mind was really about disrupting my previous telecommunication industry. But my heart was to help other people not feel the same pain I had to go through to leave my community in my teenage year on my own to move to the West and to go through that painful journey. So it was really coming from my heart to connect with people's. It was really a compassion that was driving me to start Oyster. And now I believe in, if you put your heart where it's supposed to be in business, you can be ultra successful. If you build a business to give, you're going to receive 10x.
Wow. I'm so inspired. I hadn't realized this, you know, this birthed itself, at the end of a retreat. Wow. It's very inspiring. And exactly like you say, you know, What a gift, right, to other people. And like you say, it comes back 10 times more, 100 times more. Absolutely.
And it keeps giving. It's not about the financial success. It's about having built an organization where I feel that I'm seen of who I really am, surrounded with people that I love to work with. And actually, it accelerated my inner work journey. You know, I like to say, you know, this expression, the world is your oyster, right? This is kind of the cornerstone of our brand because you can employ people everywhere. You can find job anywhere. But actually, for me, it is my inner world is my oyster. So going through this experience to build this highly high growth company in a very volatile world, whether in the right after the pandemic or through the latest economical crisis that we've experienced, have changed me, has shaped me, has sculpted my personality and myself. And that's, I'm very grateful for having had this chance to lead Oyster in the last 4 or 5 years.
Wow. And also just what a testament to starting a company from such an authentic and vulnerable, you know, open place, right? Because then the culture and the processes and the decisions made from that place are going to be much more inclusive and much more forward-thinking than starting a business from a different angle or perspective, perhaps.
Yes, Carmen, that's true.
Wow, I'm very, very inspired. But I'd love to hear a little bit more also about the growth journey, right? So for those of you on New World of Work listening, Oyster went from a handful of employees in January 2020 to around 550 employees today. So I'd love to hear more about that journey specifically. And, you know, how did global hiring really unlock the growth for Oyster?
Yeah, so when we started Oyster in January 2020, we knew that remote work is going to be big. in the next 10 years. We did not know it was going to happen so much faster. The pandemic was a launchpad for remote work. Hiring managers realized that there's no point anymore to hire within 20-mile radius within their expensive offices in these expensive tier one cities. And that was a launchpad to the business. So very quickly, we achieved product market fit. Without even having a product, we have starting to build the employment infrastructure. We build a front end for the customer, but behind the scene, it was a very manual process. But that was actually a blessing for us because suddenly we learned from our customers how to drive our product roadmap. And we drove the automation rate that was less than 10% when we started the business to, we drove it 600% in the last 3 years. And we're talking here about automating the very complicated problem, right? So we're talking about global employment. You have all these countries with very different regulation when it comes to employment, different tax laws, different payroll laws, different benefit requirements. What an employee expects as benefit in France is very different from Nigeria and so on and so forth. It is a very complicated challenge that we are laser focused. Our only focus is to make global employment as easy as local employment. If we take also a step back and reflect of what made this company growing so fast and becoming a unicorn in less than 2.5 years of inception, is because there was the following ingredients. Number one, we were focused on a vast market. Global employment is hundreds of billions of dollars of market. Employer of record alone is $33 billion market. Secondly, is about the timing. So at the moment, you had obviously the pandemic that moved remote work to the next level, but it's also the maturity of technology, especially now with AI, artificial intelligence, is the cornerstone of how we build our software, because we have all these complicated, high volume of structured data in terms of regulation, tax laws around the world. So we use increasingly AI to elevate the customer experience and make Oyster more efficient. And thirdly is about the people, the team. Hiring the best team, and I have partners since day one with an executive search firm to build my executive team that is handpicked, mission-driven, highly scalable leaders that came here and build this company.
You've mentioned this earlier as well, but you're clearly very committed to companies hiring across borders, not just Oysters themselves. And so 4 years, you know, beyond the pandemic, almost 5 years. Oh my goodness, time is flying. How do you think about the state of knowledge work and globally of remote talent today? And also, you know, where is it heading as well?
We made some great progress on that curve. Today, we have increased our team member percentage employed in emerging economies to 40%. And we're going to continue pushing that further. We have seen that the pay gap shrinking, although there's still a pay gap around the world. But for roles that are standardized and in high demand, think about software developers, great example. Let's say you're a software developer in Argentina 10 years ago versus today, your pay has significantly increased. So you're competing in not only in the Argentinian labor market, you're competing on the global market. So where there is a different supply-demand dynamic, there is a shortage of knowledge workers in the West, and there is an abundance of knowledge workers in the rest of the world. So we've seen that gap closing, but I believe we are at the beginning of that journey. We are beginning of the journey because the way the capitalistic system works is about continuous growth. So there's 10% gap in the world economy due to talent shortage. So these old structures of employment, forcing people to come to the office, having monocultures, companies that are only in one country with one culture, in industry that are in high deep shortage of knowledge workers, are going to see a globalization of their talent acquisition strategy. and they're going to need platform like Oyster. Platforms like Oysters are enablers for them to be successful.
Yeah, and I think this globalization of talent as well, it's necessary, right? Like you say, there's a shortage of talent in Western countries, and then there's an abundance of talent in other countries. So it's not just where the trend is headed, but it's also a necessity, I think, in many ways.
It is a necessity.
And there's so many other skills as well that can be attributed once you really start to hire on a global level. It's variety of skill sets and not just nationalities or countries that people live in.
And it's going to boost your diversity levels. I mean, we all know how much diversity is important for not only your company culture, but also your financial results. So more diverse companies succeed better.
Absolutely. And Oyster keeps growing and growing. So I wanted to ask you, for a growing business, what are some of the ways that global hiring can really unlock sustainable growth, market expansion, and innovation as well?
Yeah, so in terms of innovations, clearly the more you disperse your hiring, the more you're going to capture diverse ideas. And not to mention that if you talk about technological innovation, you have more chances to fulfill your engineering roadmap by tapping into a global talent pool. And engineering is great. It's a great role to distribute because it's very standardized and everybody speaks the same language, programming language. But there's other roles as well that are being standardized. So sales, marketing, customer service, finance, accounting, professional services, all these can be standardized and scaled across borders. So companies can also become more efficient in how they fulfill their human resources requirements. You can hire people outside of tier one cities and reduce your headcount cost while still paying people in emerging economies more than their local salaries. And thirdly is the speed in which you hire, right? So if you're restricting yourself to hiring in New York or in London or in San Francisco within 20 miles radius from your office, you have access to less than 1% of the overall available talent for you. Why would you do that? So there's a speed in which you can hire. At Oyster, and thirdly, I want to say you can become a talent magnet by opening up. When Airbnb announced that they are moving to remote work, their career sites received 10x more traffic. At Oyster, we receive 1,400 job application per role open. So we are becoming a talent magnet, and therefore we have the opportunity to hire the best people around the world. We call them pearls.
Yes, I know. And I think yeah, you're hitting the nail on the head there with when you give people freedom and flexibility, they're going to want to work for your company, right? So, you know, flexible work not only allows you to tap into a wider talent pool, but it really allows you to get people that are very, very motivated and want to do the best work because you are giving them that flexibility and freedom in return. So it's really a win-win on all fronts.
It's about no compromise. You're not compromising on your career. You're still working for a high-growth company that is invested in your growth and in your success while having the life you want to have. Oyster, working at Oyster enabled me to move from living in central London and central San Francisco, where I lived in the last 20 years, to the island of Cyprus, where I have great weather, great food, I'm connected to the nature, I'm closer to home, I pay less rent, and I can have the flexibility I need in my life. I don't work in the morning, I work in the afternoon and evening. I can bring my children to school, I can do my exercise at times where there's nobody at the gym. So I mean, there's a number of benefits that enables me to have in my life while being an ambitious professional that cares about succeeding in my career.
As a community builder, I loved Tony's comments about building a global community. At Oyster, you can log onto a work meeting and be met with the faces of your colleagues from around the globe. It's amazing for building workplace culture, and I hope more workplaces continue to embrace it. Tony and I continued our conversation by discussing the power of global hiring for unlocking business growth. I remember in my interview process, they were like, oh yeah, where do you want to live? And I was like, what? This is a question that I'm being asked? This is wonderful. So yeah, you can have it all. It's possible. So on the topic of having it all though, I think it's time to talk about maybe some challenges or some hesitations. Why do you think some business leaders hesitate to hire globally or are skeptical about remote talent or are even, you know, creating mandates to go back to the offices? You know, we're seeing a trend of that lately as well. So I'd love your thoughts here.
Most hiring managers actually are reticent to hire globally because they don't know how to hire globally. They really want to treat people well. How much should I pay somebody well? What benefits I should offer them? How can I create an equity in the way I give them benefit? How can I give them stock options? So all of these unknown questions prevent hiring manager to do that. And that's why we at Oyster, intelligence is at the core of everything we do. AI is being deployed across the board. We have built technologies that give answers to hiring managers and guide them to create fair and attractive employment experiences for an ever more distributed workforce. But there are some managers that are that have a trust issue that are forcing employees to come back to the office. And like I don't blame them, because if you think about where we learn management, we learn management in business schools and management schools, and we still learn in these schools Fordism. And Henry Ford invented the five days work week. And at that time, when we were building widget in factories, yes, our presence in the factory meant that we are productive. But since then, the world has shifted. We don't need to anymore see the person in seat to trust that they are working. So it ended up being a trust issue. And what happened during the pandemic, many organizations that were forced to work remotely without the right remote work infrastructure had a trust issue. Managers started mistrusting their employees, and their employees felt that they're not trusted enough, and their performance took a hit, and it became a vicious cycle. So it is really at the end of it, it's a trust issue. If you need to build a thriving distributed workforce, you have to start with a trust. You have to default to assuming best intent, and you have to create the work infrastructure that enables people to feel trusted and can be productive no matter what they are. At Oyster, we call it the Oyster operating model that enables people to be trained on remote work. We give them the tools and the rules. We ask them to lock their hours when they want to work, when they can work. And we work asynchronously most of the time. So we don't be stuck in unnecessary meetings. We document things in further details. So people, if they wake up on the other side of the world, they can access their work easily. And we have a very structured, objective and key results approach that enables people to connect their personal success to their team success and their company success. This is the Oyster operating system that you build that supports people's success no matter where they are, and enable leaders to trust their teams that they're doing their work. And this is how you can create a thriving and a healthy remote work organizations.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think we're almost, I think, as a society, like trying to still implement this old paradigm or traditional paradigm of work into the new era that we're coming into, right? And I think, like you said, COVID really accelerated that. And now we're in this balancing dance of companies either really, you know, moving forwards and changing the way and spearheading that change, or kind of reverting back to these more traditional ways of working or approaches of working. So it's a really interesting time, actually, I think, for business in general and corporations in general.
Yes. And I have to say that these companies are forcing their employees to go back to the office. What's going to happen to them? They're going to lose their best talent to companies that do trust them and that do offer them the infrastructure that enables them to be successful no matter what they are. The best talent in the world know that. and they're not going to stay long. And we've already seen that attrition rate going up from these companies that are forcing their employees to do things that are totally unnecessary.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And it also, I think, it changes the way that we evaluate work as well. So, you know, when we have this more flexible remote model, the work becomes about the work that you're quite literally delivering, right? The outcomes, the results. Whereas if we're operating on a, you know, 5 day a week in office model, does the work equate the, you know, being present rather than the results themselves, right? So it's also like, what are we measuring as the successful work, or what are we measuring as results?
It tells you a lot about company cultures. And in company cultures where it's not about results, then it becomes a political culture. It becomes a toxic culture, right? So you want to create a system that is healthy, where there's no politics, there's no toxicity, and people are clear about why they're here, and they're clear about what we expect them to do.
Yes, exactly. What has founding Oyster taught you about the challenges that we've been speaking about globally distributed work?
One of the challenges that we faced early on is, how do we compensate people across borders, right? So we had to create our own compensation philosophy, source, new source of data, because data exists, maybe in the US, maybe in certain Western economies, but not around the world. And that became a product that we launched called Salary Insight Now, that is available for our customers. So we turned that challenge into an opportunity. What I also learned from a challenge is that it is hard to connect with people. So you have to make it part of your job to build connections. And we are fortunate at Oyster to work mostly asynchronously. So for me, when I do my one-to-one with my team, I always check in with them, how they're feeling. I use a framework that enables me to take the temperature about how they've been feeling in the last couple of weeks. And that enables me to really stay connected with them. But also, what I realized in terms of connection is that not all connection have to come from work. Like when we used to be forced to commute to the office, we used to spend the vast majority of our waking time working, right? Going to the office, coming back to the office, getting ready to go to the office, and having lunch at the office with our colleagues, going to socialize after work with our work colleagues. So our only source of socialization was pretty much our work colleagues. But now, since I'm the only employee in the island of Cyprus for Oyster, I had to find new ways of socialization. I had to create my local community, social network, and that have opened up a whole opportunity for me that I did not know I could access, and made my life more diverse, and I just feel happier to have multiple sources of socialization today.
Mm. Yeah, that's really fascinating. And I love especially what you were saying around, you know, really checking in with the team and keeping the humanness alive, right? So we're on a remote level now. And of course, you have to be more intentional about those human connections and really checking in how everyone is doing, essentially.
Yes. And what I realized is that the most important connection I want to build is with myself.
Mm.
So this journey, Oyster has changed me, had enabled me to feel much more comfortable to be on my own and remove everything in the way for me not to feel okay to be on my own. And that have opened up a whole growth area for me, spiritually, emotionally, even physically. The way I take care of myself has changed. So Oyster have really elevated my level of happiness by realizing that, hey, I can now build connection with myself.
Wow. Yeah, that's very, very, very inspiring as well. And so we've touched on some of the challenges that you have faced or that we face at Oyster regularly, but could you also touch on the challenges that we're, you know, seeing a lot for our customers as well, whilst they really transition into this more remote first world of work?
Yeah. So as we have solved Oyster, all of their compliance, HR, and payroll challenges, what remains is really how do you operate a healthy, fully distributed organization? So this comes to the culture, this comes to the systems that you have implemented, and this comes as well to the leadership on the top. This has to be driven from the top, and the higher you are in the organization, the better remote worker you should be to be able to model the way for the rest of your teams. Like, I need to be the best remote worker in the company, and I thrive to be that, and I'm always learning. But if I don't follow this, if I don't evangelize this, then I should not be surprised that it doesn't work in the business, right? So it has to come from the top and cascade down.
Absolutely. Role modeling. I think it's the key to behavior change and to societal change, role modeling. I also wanted to kind of double click on the talent side that we've briefly touched on. And for talent, you know, based outside of traditional tech hubs, like we've mentioned, San Francisco, New York, London, what types of opportunities can global hiring create? So can we dive into that a little bit more?
Yeah. So for the talent that is located elsewhere, I think first and foremost is it gives you the chance to decide where you want to live. There are some people that want to live in the cities, and that's great. But most people who need to commute every day, I mean, in London, sometimes I had employees that used to commute two to four hours every day to come to the office from these like faraway commuter cities to be able to afford living in the city because they had to get the work, they had to get the job. So first is you get the opportunity to live where you want to live. Maybe you want to live near your family. Maybe you want to live near the beach. Maybe you want to live in the mountains. No matter where you want to live, it gives you the freedom. Secondly is it gives you back time for yourself, for your life. This 2 hours that you used to spend to commute sitting in cars or in trains, now you can go to the gym. You can spend more time with your loved ones. You can maybe start a hobby. I was able to start learning music because I could play in between Zoom calls 5 minutes here and there. If I was in the office, I could not do that anymore, right? So it gave me this opportunity to focus on myself and develop my skills outside of work. So it gives you the opportunity as well to access a global work market as well, job market, right? So you can be in Lagos, Nigeria, or you can be in Turin, Italy, and you can both apply to the same role for a company in London without necessarily have to move to London. And I think last but not least, it enables you to live more sustainably. We are pouring 4 times the equivalent of a New York City in terms of concrete into earth every year to build urban areas. We know that's not sustainable. And we know that key to living sustainably is to disperse humans more evenly on this planet so we can live in better integration and harmony in our natural environment.
I love that last point, Tony, because I think oftentimes when we talk about remote and distributed work, the rationale tends to be, you know, this flexibility piece and, you know, living your life where you want to live it, community, etc. But a huge part of the rationale really is that environmental piece, the sustainability piece. And I think that should get, a lot more light as we continue on, you know, the following years and the future of work really evolves and emerges. We want people to not all have to congregate in one city and for more and more buildings to be built and more concrete, like you mentioned, more aircon, more heating, etc. But yes, yet, like you say, disperse on a more equal basis and make use of the resources that we already do have rather than running away to the metropolis, so to speak. That's really interesting. And I know that we have the environmental report that we always send out, right? Every year.
We do. In part of our impact report, we measure the environmental benefits that team members employed on our platform has generated. And it also helps you with taking control over your life. I think in that kind of the key aspect of this is you are in more mastery over your life. Like, when I used to live in London, I had no choice than to go and eat my food in whatever local fast food chain available. Now I cook my own food. I source my vegetables and fruits locally. So that gives me a sense of mastery over my life. I'm in control of what I'm putting in my body. I'm in control of when I can go and exercise. I'm in control how much time I want to spend with my loved ones and where and when. So by having this sense of control and mastery over my life, I just feel better. I just feel happier, more fulfilled.
More yourself?
More myself.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And I'm wondering if folks listening in would think about, okay, you know, I'm sold. I want to implement a global talent acquisition strategy in my company. But where do you even start? You know, how can people leaders work with CEOs like yourself or other C-level execs to really align on a winning global talent acquisition strategy?
Yeah, so you're right, Carmen. So you have to have internal alignment about this, right? You have to go to your C-level executive and show them the data. Show them that by accessing global employment, you get faster talent, better talent, more cost-effective talent. And you have to start somewhere. It doesn't have to be across the board. Maybe you have engineering team are struggling to find talent. So start there. Maybe you want to start, you don't have to start in the whole world. Start plus minus 4 hours from your headquarters when it comes to time zones. So you can take small steps towards global employment nirvana, and doesn't have to be everybody in your company.
Yeah. And the entire world, every single country now. Baby steps. And well, final question from my side. And we ask this to all of our guests on New World of Work. So I'm very excited to ask you, what is the best mistake that you've ever made and why?
I don't know if it qualifies as a mistake, but essentially, I would have wanted to start Oyster earlier because we would have been better ready to capture the growth actually that we've seen. Make no mistake, I'm very grateful that we started Oyster in January 2020. But if we started 1 year earlier, we would have been much more impactful, would have been better ready. We probably would have accessed better financial resources as well, because it was a zero interest rate environment for 10 years, right? So timing was great, but it could have been greater.
Well, Tony, it has honestly been so wonderful to have you join me today. I've learned so much about your journey and Oyster as well. And just overall, a huge thank you for joining us today.
Thank you for having me, Carmen.
It was great to have Tony on the podcast. Here are my key takeaways. Global work closes gaps. A global workforce fills jobs that cannot be filled in the local economy and helps close wage gaps and makes employees globally competitive. Be flexible. You can consider a much wider applicant pool when talent managers and companies are flexible. With tools like Oyster, you can easily hire globally and tap into the global talent pool while ensuring you know what to pay them, what holidays they get, how benefits work in their country, and much, much more. Forcing people back to the office is counterproductive. Tony stresses that forcing people back into the office means that companies will lose their best talent. Employees will start to look for employers that offer them solutions that work for them. Thanks for listening to New World of Work, the podcast exploring the new frontier of the modern workforce. We hope this episode served to expand your horizons and open your mind to a new perspective. If you're looking to connect with other folks who care about these same topics, consider joining our Oyster's Free People Builders community. It's a unique and exclusive online community for people and culture professionals, culture and change agents, managers of all kinds, and leaders and execs to find the connections, answers, and tools that they need to navigate this complex world of remote and distributed work. check out the link in the description to join, and we'll see you there. Be sure to subscribe and rate the show if you enjoyed this episode. And if you're listening on Apple Podcasts, we'd love it if you leave a review.